Yeah, we know how it is. We know. Take the Word of God and let's open them up to Galatians. Galatians here. And men, while we're turning there, men, and I'm talking to men right now, so ladies, you can plug your ears. But men, really, you guys, I really, really, really need your help here tonight. You see, on the way to church here tonight, I got into an argument with my wife. I mean, look at her. I mean, I say, aw. I got into an argument with her, and you know what? She told me I was right. I mean, what do I do next? What do I do next, guys? I mean, my heart stopped. I had to let her drive the rest of the way. I mean, like, I mean, just right now I'm having anxiety. I don't even know if I can get through the rest of this message. I mean, have you ever been told you're right? Well, okay, Dave, how about you? Have you ever been told? Man, how many of you have been told you're right? We always have one. There's always one in the class, right? Well, if you found Galatians, I know it's a really super long book of 6 chapters, but we're going to be in chapter 5, so go ahead and turn to chapter 5, and as you're getting to chapter 5, you know, I tried to start this morning without my coffee intake, and you know how hard, anybody that knows me, that's very difficult, and I'll just tell you, unfortunately, my court date is pending. We'll be going sometime soon, I'm sure. And in a moment, we'll be reading verses 22 and 23, and I'll just keep on going with the sad news. But, you know, I went to the doctor just the other day, and he said my sugar was too high. So when I got home, I lowered it to a lower shelf. We've got to make sure we can get to that sugar. And I know for those of you that are on that 40-day sugar fast, I'm on a 40-day sugar intake. So, you know, just go ahead. In fact, April found, my favorite cake is pineapple upside down cake. Now, please, the last time I told the church that, I had about 800 of them. I don't want them in my refrigerator, freezer. Please do not bake me a pineapple upside down cake. But it is my favorite cake. So she has found me some pineapple upside down cake yogurt, some Greek yogurt. It's addictive. Thankfully, I come into work and I take just a little bit, and I really just a little bit. It is very addictive. But, you know, now the sugar is down on a little bit lower shelf. And how many of you have found your text passage or our text passage? I got one more fact for you, and this one's about bees. You know, being the school administrator, I got to be, you know, educational, right? Because I got an education, I got to be educational to the kids. And let me tell you a little bit of something about bees. Most of them are actually allergic to pollen. They are. They're, when exposed to pollen, they develop hives. All right. Dad jokes are done. Hey, you can blame April for, I think it's April for those. I got a whole calendar of dad jokes. I'm going to be set for the whole year. It's awesome. Huh? Oh, no, it wasn't you. Well, somebody gave it to me at Christmas time. Oh, yeah, my daughter. See, I should know who, I should read the gift tags, right, so I know who my gifts come from. You know, we don't do it very often here, but I really like to honor and respect the Word of God. How about you? Amen. Amen. So how about you stand with me as we read the Word of God here tonight? All right, and I know we're going to be in verses 22 and 23, and I'm sure that you can see here, because this is a very familiar passage right here, right? We know that this is talking about the fruit of the Spirit, but we'll actually go all the way to the end of the chapter. But what this lesson is going to focus on is really one word, one of the fruit that it talks about here in this portion. And it says here, starting in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. And the Word of God, it goes on here in verse 23, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts, and if we live in the Spirit. Now let's stop there. There's something unique about that word Spirit right here in this passage. What's unique about that? It's capital, and what does that signify? The Holy Spirit. We should always be aware of that when we're reading the Word of God. And so it goes on here, and it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Same Holy Spirit as referred to before. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brother Dave, would you pray for us here real quickly? Amen. Go ahead and be seated. And now we've kind of chuckled. We laughed. I know I'm not as humorous as Pastor Riggs. He's able to get off the cuff. I have to kind of look up my stuff. But you never know when I might just get one or two in there. But we're going to get a little serious here now tonight. But we can be serious tonight and still have something in our heart. And that something is one of those fruit. And that's something else that we need to notice here in this passage. See, it does not say there in verse 22, but the fruits of the Spirit, right? It doesn't say fruits. It says the fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to be focusing on one of those fruit that the Lord is talking about here. And we're going to focus on joy. We're going to focus tonight on joy. And I'm going to tell you that, you know, I've been here, coming here since about July. Of course, I've known Town East ever since I've been in the San Antonio area, 6 years, over 6 years. Have known Pastor Riggs from about the time that he was called here to the church. We have quite the friendship, have known each other. But why is it, church family, that oftentimes when we come in, you all look so glummy? Sometimes we see more frowns than we do smiles. So I want to talk about that a little bit tonight. And really, it's kind of just the Lord's working, because we know that Pastor Riggs just on Sunday morning talked about what?
Joy.
And I already had this message put together before I knew he was presenting that. And that's why I went ahead and put together a different message, a series. I was going to talk about humbling ourselves. 6 points about humbling ourselves from the book of James. But I decided that I would keep this for chapel, and it was really at chapel. I think I even went back to Chris, and I said, I think I'm going to show this to the adults tonight. Because oftentimes they're Christian. We look so glummy. And look, we all go through valleys. We all have, what one of these cups is going to say, problems and troubles or tribulations or trials or however you want to classify that. Guess what, folks? We all are going to have those. You will spend more time in the valley than you will on the mountaintop. I guarantee that. God doesn't promise us a beautiful, perfect road just because we come and become a believer, does he? I can guarantee you this. You all left me a lot of time. So maybe I should switch to humbling ourselves, because that's a longer message. I don't know if I want to let you all get out of here too early. I mean, that might be, Pastor Riggs might yell at me for that, because then, this is really a very short message. I'll tell you, it's a short message. It's not overly long. But my friends, my hope, and any time I prepare a message, my deepest prayer is that it will be an encouragement to you. That there, you'll find something, just a nugget of something that you can hide in your heart or that application that you can use in your life. You know, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, very short verse, but it tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. Amen. And again, I say, rejoice. How important do you think that is? He says it twice in that short verse. Rejoice in the Lord sometimes. rejoice in the Lord last week, but forget about it the rest of the year. Some of us might do that. But it does say rejoice in the Lord always. God's word tells us that we should always be joyful. Always be joyful. Look, my friends, this does not mean that we will always be happy. I mean, April and I, we bickered the whole way here. And then she told me I was right. Now I'm flabbergasted. I guess I might have to go home and have some tacos. What was that? It's some sugar from my low shelf. I hid it away behind the nutritional stuff, you know. You know, it does not mean that we will always be happy. We all have rough days. But we can still have joy. Even when things are not going well. You see, when you trust in Jesus, and I pray that everybody here tonight has trusted in Christ. And if you haven't, please, please don't depart through those doors till you have that relationship. It would be the greatest day that you will ever have. The best gift that you could ever receive. It outweighs any birthday, Christmas, anniversary gift that you could have. Do not depart here without knowing that assurance. When you trust in Jesus as your Savior, you know his Spirit, that Holy Spirit that we see identified in this passage, it comes to live in you, and that's called indwelling in you. And as you listen to him, the Holy Spirit, it produces fruit. And we saw all those fruit right there in that passage that it produces. It produces fruit in your life. As well as when you allow him to control your thoughts, attitudes, and actions. You should allow the Holy Spirit to do that. And joy is one of the fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in your life. I mean, I know for some of you with short-term memory, it was a long time ago I read that passage. But do you remember our scripture reading? It said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, which is not weakness, temperance. Against such there is no law. When problems come into your life, let me tell you this here, friends. Satan, good old Satan, wants you to complain. Some of you will. Satan wants you to worry. I know here not long ago we had that message by Pastor Riggs about worrying. Satan, you know what? He even wants you to doubt God. He loves that Christian that backslides. Satan joys in that. So today, and usually with my object lessons, I do not give my ingredients. You know, a magician usually doesn't give out all their little tricks. But tonight, I'm going to tell you, I have some simple ingredients. I simply have water, vinegar, and baking soda. That's what we have here tonight. And by mixing these three ingredients, you know, something special will occur. But I want it to occur to hopefully assist you in remembering to always have joy in your life. Of course, I switched the sides. Right here is a clear drinking glass. Back at the days that I would go to McDonald's to eat. We're going to have this represent your life today. This is going to represent your life. And my friends, when you receive Jesus as your Savior, you know, he comes to live in you by way of his Spirit. So I'm now going to pour this water here into this glass to represent the fact that God's forgiveness has washed away what? your sin. It's washed away your sin. And sin's punishment of death. Providing you with a new life. That eternal life. We're all in agreement. Amen. Now, I talked about this one. This cup. How many of us have problems? Troubles? I mean, we fight like cats and dogs all the way to church, and then we put a smile on. But I was right tonight. Amen. I will never forget it. My calendar is going to have it written. Every calendar I have is going to have Kevin was right once. Amen. And you know, she didn't even wait till my birthday. She could have waited till then. You know, it's a short time away. Problems, troubles, trials, tribulations. That valley I've talked about, oh, we will be in them. We will be there. You know, and so this cup here is filled with that delightful vinegar. Won't be a long rabbit trail, but my best friend lives in New York State, and for many years, he was the second in command of one of the largest vinegar factories out there. Amazing. And I think he was over a couple other ones as well that he would travel to. And he would really tell me the benefits of this amazing liquid. You see, vinegar is a acetic acid. And this means that vinegar is a weak acid. So just think, every time you're drinking or using vinegar, you're putting acid in your belly to mix with the acid that's already there. But that means that this can be eaten without harm to our bodies. But it does add a sour taste to your food. Now, I relayed this to the children, and again, I do not want 55,000 bags of these, but once in a while, I like those salt and vinegar potato chips. I said every once in a while, I like those salt and vinegar potato chips. I know I learned a long time ago in church, if you say you like something, you might get a whole bunch of it. So I like it in moderation, but they're tasty. It does add a sour taste to our food. And just because you have received Jesus into your life does not mean that you will no longer have problems. Too many young Christians think they come to the altar and they receive Jesus Christ, and then all of a sudden they're just going to have a perfect life with no problems. It happens too often. But you know what? You will have problems. You may have health problems. If we have some students in here, we may have problems at school. Working individuals, we may have problems at work. I love my family, but I'll tell you, I'm thankful most of my family don't live close to me, because you may have problems with your family. When April and I moved to Tucson, Arizona, my dad lives in Sierra Vista, and he's like, "You're going to move to Sierra Vista?" I said, "No way. Tucson's close enough, about an hour, hour and a half. You stay there, Dad. We'll get together once in a while." All right. Now, my kids and grandkids, I wish they'd get a little bit closer. But I don't want them to live with me. April and I are empty nesters. We got our dogs, our cats, and our cows, and our horses, and our chickens. We got enough kids at home. We don't need more. Amen? How many of us have some problems or troubles with our friends? I mean, I love my friends, but you usually get some there, huh? We experienced this here just recently, but what about death? Brings a lot of heartache, doesn't it? Man, that joy sometimes can seem to just seep right out of the bottom of our heart when we have or experience a death of a friend or a family member. Now, I know y'all got money coming out the ears, but how about finances? And I'm kidding about that, because as far as I'm aware, nobody here has money coming out their ears. I know my daughter thinks I have a money tree in the backyard, but I certainly do not. Or if I did, it's not harvesting, because it sure hasn't. I heard somebody here, it was today, Miss Debbie, I think you were around. Somebody said something about, where's Cooper? He said something about, man, if we, Kristen, what did he say? About having too much money. Both Kristen and I looked at him and went, what? Who has too much money? Who here has too much money? Please, if you do, my name's Kevin L. Stevens. I take donations. But you know, I said that short list there, and I can pause right there, and I can give us a few seconds to reflect. I guarantee that you can put your own problem in there. I guarantee that you can put your own trouble in there. Your own valley that you're going through. I guarantee it. You know, the life issues that each of us face from time to time. Well, this vinegar right here reminds me of those problems and troubles. And even though vinegar, you know, has a sour taste, it can add, in moderation, a good flavor to food. It really can. And God uses our problems and God uses our troubles within our lives in order to teach us. You know, he wants to teach us to rely on him. And when problems come, you may feel like complaining. I do. You may feel like worrying. I do. How many of you have been awake at 3 o'clock in the morning praying, worrying about a situation? And then I have a message like this, and, well, I'm not supposed to worry. But you know what? Probably in a couple of weeks, guess what I'm going to be doing? I'll be sitting 3, 4 in the morning, worrying about my kid or my grandkid. Yesterday, my 11-month-old grandson got his finger completely shut into a door and took my daughter hours. Now, my daughter, new mom, so it's her fault. She automatically, it's my fault, and fill in all the guilt that we all do as parents. When you get to the third or fourth child, you're like, eh, just suck it up. Sit down. I don't care that you're only 2 months old. Just stop. You don't need to cry. Come on. Don't we? Those of us that have multiple kids, we do. If you're saying we don't, then, you know, here's an altar. You know, I'd like to say that I've never doubted God, but I have. And it's almost always when I'm facing a huge problem, something going on. That's the way that it is. So I guess we better put this into our life. Look how many problems and troubles, how many things that we go through. And if I was really being accurate, I probably would need a huge jug, and the majority of it would be that vinegar. It really would. But I got to say, do not allow these bad attitudes, and please do not allow these feelings to rob you of your joy. Instead, allow the Holy Spirit to produce the fruit of joy in your life. And so I want to show you this cup now. And this cup here, it is a cup of water that tells us to pray. Now, Christians, I know a lot of times when we say that we're going to go pray, oftentimes we really just do not. It's really easy to say, oh, hey, April, I'm going to pray for you. But sometimes we get busy. So all I can really do is give you, you know, what my guidance is to pray. And I believe the Bible tells us to pray how often? Without what? Ceasing. Is that something we really can do? I think we can, but it's awful difficult. We're busy. Mike, I know you're busy, right? Busy. And I shared this with my class, and you can laugh or not, but oftentimes I pray in the shower. As I'm scrubbing up, but the only problem is my showers are generally less than 10 minutes. I'm in and out, and let's go. When I would ride my motorcycle is when I would really pray. Well, yeah, I found that out this last week, seeing these, and the roads weren't even wet. I'm scared for next week, I'm going to tell you that. Well, I would. I would pray and pray. And see, and I'm one of those when I'm on my motorcycle praying, my mouth's moving. And I remember one time I'm at a stoplight, and I look over, and here's Grandma. She's probably about 78. She's looking at me like I was cuckoo. But I was praying. Man, we got to pray. And when problems come, one of the first things that you really can do is pray. You know what? If you're a believer, isn't God our friend? And I've relayed this to my Sunday school, and generally you will not hear me use fancy words and fancy terms in my prayers. I talk to God like he's my best friend. Like he's my father. I don't go to my dad in Sierra Vista and use all these technical terms. I talk to him like he's my friend. Like he's my dad. And share with him how you feel. But I am going to tell you this. If you're going to ask him for something, if you're going to lift up a petition, then praise him too, please. Please thank him. We have a lot to complain about, but you know what? We have a lot to be thankful for too. I got out of bed this morning. I didn't want to. I did drink my coffee this morning. You wouldn't have wanted me not to. Then I climbed into that car and I arrived to Town East Christian School safely. I made sure the school was safe, and we've had all kinds of things going on. We got a couple of new students are potentially coming in and talking with parents and grandparents and seeing this and seeing that. And I was just thankful to be at school, be able to be there. I told somebody yesterday, I was walking in the halls and somebody asked who was doing chapel. There was a group of students there, and I said, well, I'm going to bring the chapel message. I haven't done it in a while. And, oh, we're looking forward to hearing you speak, Mr. Stevens. You know how much joy that gave me, how much encouragement that was, that even just one student wanted to hear me talk? I thanked God at that moment. Hey, thank you for that. I have some students that give me a hug every day religiously. So thankful for that. I mean, my wife sometimes will, but you know, no, she gives me a hug every day. She won't get out of the recliner, but she'll give me a hug. No, I'm kidding. The reason she won't get out of the recliner, she has about four cats surrounding her, and so thank him. Be thankful to God. Be grateful that he is with you as you are going through difficult times. You know, God tells us in Jeremiah chapter 33, if you were to look at verse 3, it says, call unto me. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. What a powerful verse. What a great reminder. I think we better add this prayer time to our life. Well, next, we have another important step. And as a believer, I really would think you would know that this is important. We have believe, right? Trust. Trust that God will help you go through those tough times. That's difficult sometimes, but we have to trust him. Jesus did say there in Matthew chapter 21, I think it's verse 22, he said, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now, we do know that God always answers prayer, right? Can we raise our hands if we believe that God answers prayers all the time? But he answers it in three ways, as Dave and I often talk. He'll say yes, no, or wait. He's going to answer your prayers. Problem is most of the time we're impatient people. We just think we can do it in our own will. Let's go ahead and add believe to our life. Now, you see, you finish talking to God through your prayers. And now it is time that you allow him. It's time for you to allow God to talk to you. So this cup here portrays the Bible, the Word of God. If you're talking to him, he will talk to you through his Word. But guess what, folks? You have to kind of open it up. You have to look at those pages. You have to read them. Don't be one of those, and my Sunday school class is probably tired of me saying this, but don't be one of those that takes your Bible, leaves Sunday services, put it on the back seat, and it gets 3 inches of dust. Don't be one of those. Read your Bibles. If you're a new Christian, you don't have to read the whole thing in a week. Read it in small parts. Understand what you're reading. For your more mature Christians but don't want to read it every day, at least read Proverbs. Get wise in your life. Get the wisdom. One Proverbs a day. If the month only has 30 days, you're going to have to do some extra homework. My teachers would appreciate that. You have to read two Proverbs, right? Read the Word of God, and He will talk to you through His words. You know, the book of Psalms definitely has a lot to say about praising God during troubles. If you were to turn to Psalm 56, if you're quick, you can get there. But verses 2 through 4, God's word says here, "Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." Let's add our Bible time to our life. When you pray, when you believe, and when you read your Bible, the Holy Spirit indwelling in you will begin to change your thoughts. He really will begin to change your thoughts. He'll begin to change your attitudes regarding the troubles or problems that you may be facing. Amen. I have that last ingredient I talked about right here, and I've labeled it the Holy Spirit. Once again, the Holy Spirit indwelled in us, but now we're back. We've made that 360, and we're back to the Holy Spirit. Watch what happens here. Simple illustration right here. Very simple. Easy. Anybody could do this little science project right here. But when God's Spirit is controlling your thoughts and attitudes, the fruit of joy will overflow in your life. You see, when that vinegar mixes with the baking soda, the acetic acid in the vinegar neutralizes. It reduces the effect of that vinegar and the baking soda and a gas called carbon dioxide forms. And carbon dioxide happens to be those little bubbles that overflow when vinegar reacts with the baking soda. Well, the baking soda reminds me of joy that comes from the Holy Spirit. But that joy comes from the Holy Spirit as we obey God and we trust in His promises. The fruit of joy that comes from God's Spirit is a deep inner gladness you have because you know that God is in control. That's why you can have joy and not necessarily be happy. Because see, it's deep. It is the inner gladness that you have when you finally realize that God is faithful. And that He always keeps His promises. By the way, God always does. Always. You know, the Bible states in Nehemiah chapter 8, there, verse 10, it states this: "Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." If you ever get a chance, go in there and highlight the last part of that verse. "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." And the next time that you face a problem, you might be on that peak right now. You might be on the mountaintop. Maybe you're not facing a single thing, but let me tell you, that's usually short-lived. And it's not long before we're snowballing all the way down. and we're deep into that valley. And the next time that you're there, will you remember what happens when you add baking soda to vinegar? Will you remember that? Will you allow the fruit of joy to overflow from your life? I'm going to close with my life verse. And then I'm going to do the following verse. If you've never really read Habakkuk, then read it. Minor prophet, he questions God. To me, the most beautiful verse for me is this. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. You see, the Lord God is my strength. And he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. I appreciate your attention tonight, every head bowed and every eye closed. We won't really have much of an invitation time here tonight, but I'll stop speaking for a bit, and I do pray that maybe this message had something for you. Maybe you're in that valley right now, and maybe you needed to hear about having joy in your heart. Maybe you're facing a deep, deep trial, and you're just not happy. But hopefully you gained the thought that you can have that joy. Let's just have a moment to reflect on those words that were spoken. Of course, the altar is open if you so desire to have a few moments. Take a moment with the Lord.